All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us, Lord, to the point of giving your life for us. We are purchased by your blood. We acknowledge that. And we, Lord, make ourselves available to you, Lord, to, Lord, do obey your word, obey your truth. We just praise and thank you. Today, Lord, quicken your word to us that we may be able to hear it and put it to work in our life. We just praise and thank you for that. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about the fear of the Lord. Really, you know, understanding, okay, that, you know, growing in the fear of the Lord involves actually, you know, finding out what the great treasure he is that he has provided for us. And it's really sad that it's not really a topic that is covered very much, and when it's covered, it's just superficially. When instead, you know, when we understand really what how that is implemented in our life, makes all the difference in the world. Releases the things that God wants to do for us. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus delighted, or Jesus' delight was in the fear of the Lord. So that was really the things that he delighted most about. And we can see in his life, we can see it in his behavior, we can see it in many things of how he functions. We're going to see some things today that I haven't covered before. And we're going to see some of the implications of the fact that people have not been teaching and don't have much of understanding about the fear of the Lord today, so that actually they are not getting anywhere spiritually. Because of that, they are only getting in deception and confusion. So we have to see what's happening and how connect this truth that we have to open ourselves up to, okay, with what's going on in the world today and in Christianity, especially. Because the world is the world. Can't do much about it. And they had to make some decision. But when Christians get mixed up, that's when we should start, you know, opening our eyes and start to say, wait a minute, am I falling into these traps? Is it this deception or these things? We had to be able to recognize ourselves what things are going on. I hope today we have covered some topic here. But really, you know, I start with the principle, you know, that if one understands the way Jesus functions, well, I call it Jesus' secret. It was not secret, you know, but the fact is not many really see it anyway, because it's just, you know, those things that are in front of your nose, and just because they're in front of your nose, or you don't notice it. Okay, and you know, it's really given in John chapter 5, verse 30 and verse 19. Those two verses really give the secret of Jesus walking. The way he functioned, the way he manifested, you know, his life down here. Okay, the principle was operating. Okay, really, it says, you know, I can in myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because, and that's the key, I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. You see, this involved his judgment. The judgment is what happens at the heart level. So, you know, at the heart level, he was giving his heart to the Lord and to the Father. And so the Father would take over completely all the judgments that he had concerning things, life, values that he had. Okay, and that judgment really has to do with a decision to do the will of God above everything else. No compromise. There was no compromise in Jesus. And if we are learning from him, we should learn to do the same. No compromise. And that requires some inner strength to do, because there are pressure all the time from the world and from the enemy, working himself and working in people to compromise, to align ourselves with them. When instead we had to refuse to do that, and we had to walk with him, walk like he walked. So there is, you know, the decision that we had to make is really to do the will of God. And we see that simply by looking at the Word. Okay, the Word is the source of us to know the will of God. And we can walk that way too. But it doesn't happen because you do a Bible study. It doesn't happen because you read the Bible. It happens because you internalize what the Bible says and becomes your judgment, your way of thinking, your way you make the decisions. So that you are not there trying, you know, what the Bible says about it. No, it's you have internalized those principles and they are operating in you and they are guiding you, blinded, even if you can't see anything. You know, this is wrong. I don't fully understand, but what I have in myself show me, tells me that something is wrong about that. And I know that we can do that. Okay? The bottom line, okay, that we cannot follow God by imitating men. No matter how famous they are, no matter how anointed they think they are, or no matter what, our example are not in men, but Jesus. No one else. You know, even Paul says, you know, imitate me as I am an imitator of God. So, you know, even Paul said, don't look at me, just look at him. And so that's good. So this is, you know, people are limited. We are limited. We are not perfect. We are just, you know just a little bit, no matter how much we have studied, but the more we internalize that. You see, it's not a question of just knowing scriptures. He said, the scripture have been recorded into our heart and been transforming us the way we judge things, the way we evaluate things, the way, you know, even if we cannot put it on time in words, because we cannot verbalize it. So the second one, I think, is Jesus answered and said to them, you know, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And this is really, okay, indication on both cases. I can do nothing. I can do anything. You know, it's not self-assurance, Jesus said. I got it. I know everything. I am the Son of God. I have the Holy Spirit. I have nothing as a man. You had to open up to the Spirit of God and humble yourself before God before you're going to see anything. Jesus said very clearly, unless, and the Bible is all over the place, unless you humble yourself, unless you essentially almost put yourself down, that's the opposite of what psychology is going to tell you. Humanistic psychology is going to tell you, oh, you had to feel good about yourself. Christianity, Jesus said, you had to feel good about God. That's the only source of your boasting. Not yourself. Because yourself, you're going to miss it over and over again. And anybody that says otherwise, they don't understand the basic principle of Christianity. Two, that is, deny ourselves to be able to have life. The life we have is not our life, it's life that has been passed on to us by His grace. Praise the Lord. This is so important. Okay, our assurance is not in pride or presumption or our performance, but our, you know, but our confidence and our assurance is in what Jesus did. And the fact that we have a fellowship with Him and with the Father, so that He, and with the Holy Spirit. And you see, this is what Jesus was talking about here, what we see the Father doing. You know, it's really the Holy Spirit teaching us, the Holy Spirit guiding us personally about the things that we should be doing. And it's not just a general statement. It's a specific statement about specific decision that we had to make in our life. Because it always boils down to that. Praise the Lord. You know, we have to understand that. That we are our connection with the Holy Spirit, our connection with Jesus and with the Father is critical. Without that, we get nowhere. But no, it's not that easy at the same time, because we have hindrances to achieve that. You know, Jesus, when in the Last Supper, was communicating this message to the apostles and was, you know, emphasizing this aspect that had to be becoming real after He ascended. So in John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." When He said that, means, you know, yeah, I really mean it. Listen to me. Okay? It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, your Helper, will not, you know, come to you. But if I depart, I'll send it to you. Praise the Lord. So really, we need the Helper. And the Helper is not there just as a theological statement. This is instead as a reality that has to help us and deal with us and connect with us. And if we don't connect with Him, we are missing it. We have to expect to commit and to receive direct direction from the Holy Spirit. And have to be open to receive it. See, the thing is, the Holy Spirit is not a pusher. He doesn't push Himself on you. He expects you to have ear open and eyes open and heart open to receive, so that when He speaks, you hear it. But that's not the natural thing for the natural man. We have to understand that. And so it's important for us to understand, okay, that this is something we had, you know, people say sometimes, many people in Pentecostal, Charismatic, and so on, say, oh, the Lord told me, and you see very clearly that that wasn't the Lord, because the stuff that they're talking about is garbage. So not everything that comes to your mind is the Holy Spirit. And you have to learn to recognize what is the Holy Spirit and what is whatever it is. The things you heard before from other people, the things that the devil is going to push you so that you're going to trick you in a corner, and any of the other things. You have to learn to know the voice, and that's one of the things that we have to learn to see. We have to learn to recognize. In the same chapter, verse 13, before the one I read before was verse 7. Verse 13 says another thing. Okay, this is important. However, when the Spirit of truth, which the Helper is, okay, has come to you, He will guide you into all truth. So He is going to guide you. So that's the job of the Holy Spirit, guiding you into the right direction. Because evidently, if He has to guide you, that means you need guidance. And you cannot do it by yourself. That's why it's a disadvantage for you that I go away. Otherwise, I cannot send the helper. You need guidance. You need help to get in the right direction, to make the right decision, to have the right judgment. But the only way you're going to do that is by actually connecting with the Holy Spirit, who is going to do the job of guiding you. Okay. And says, for he will not speak of his own authority. I mean, he's not going to get his own ideas or his own concept. And you can see that often when people told me that, you know, God told me that, when it's completely unscriptural. You know, that's garbage. Okay. Sometimes it's difficult to see it, though. But let me continue here. So he will give, doesn't speak, you know, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He's not talking about that you become a prophet. He's talking about the stuff that you have to deal with, the things that you have to do right now, right then. What happened 10 years from now, who cares? Hopefully we are raptured. But you know, can count on that because nobody knows it. And so, when it happens, and so we can't, anybody that tries to guess it is missing it anyway. Because the scriptures clearly say that not even Jesus knows. Unless you think you're better than Jesus. Lots of people today do. Let me continue. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Spirit is our personal instructor. He gives us personal direction, correction, and guides us to the truth, which we really need to know. You know, and what does he do? He doesn't speak on his own authority, his own idea. He just speaks the truth to you. And the truth is the word. So what he speaks is Jesus. He shows you the way Jesus functions, the way Jesus taught, the way Jesus, you know, made decisions and have values. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to do anything new that is not in the word. So that becomes very, you want to say, oh, the word is big. Well, you better learn it. You better spend time in it. The more you do, the better you're going to be guaranteed that you don't get off a tangent. You need that. And you need to be patient. That means, oh, you know, it's a big book. Yeah? You better spend time in it. Okay. Jesus said it very clearly. Okay. The way the Holy Spirit works is really by you. John 8, 31 and 32 said very clearly. Jesus said to one who believes in him, if you abide in my word, abide or dwell, that was translated, you know, which is meno, actually in Greek, which means stay, continue in it, endure. That means, you know, things don't happen over instantaneously. You know, you stay in it until that is coming to pass. Let me continue here. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Okay, the fact of being his disciple means, you know, that a disciple is somebody that learns, is like a pupil, somebody that is under the direction of the teacher, and so listen and is following the direction that is used already in there. There is lots of other information that applies to us that we have to understand. Okay, this is not Bible study. That is living in the word. Stay in there. Allowing the word to work in you. You are not going, when you do other things and you are focusing maybe on your work, on driving or doing whatever things, the word is working in you and is producing thoughts, ideas, and correcting and directing and guiding and showing you and say, this is wrong, this is right, this choose that, don't choose that. Are you following me? Okay. So we must learn to live by it. That's what abiding in my word. And then it says, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I mean, no, is ginosko there, so you're going to actually experience it, you know, be able to have a discernment, the ability to see, okay, the things that you need to know spiritually, the truth, that the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, that's what the job is doing. So it's bringing the truth to you so that you understand the word. You know how to apply it. You know what to do with it. And the truth shall make you free. The word make you free is just one word in Greek, and it's eliotero. Eliotero. Tero. Anyway, so the idea, what it means is, will deliver you, will liberate you, will exempt you from liability for your stupidities and mistakes. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, that's the way you are going to get free. You be a disciple, dwell in the word. That's where the freedom, you know, is not to shake the heaven. Some people think that they can force themselves out into God. No, God is trying to force himself out into you. That's what we have to understand. You know, that walking spiritually is not an effort. It's peace. Shalom. Well-being, not frantic, anything. Are you following me? Okay. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That means shall save you. You see, it doesn't say, you know, you start and you got everything there. No. It's by fellowshipping with the word, by staying in the word, by allowing the word, by being, you know, dwelling in the word, then that you know the truth, and the truth, bit by bit, decision by decision, choice by choice that you make is going to set you free from the bondages of the world and the limitation that you have naturally in yourself. Praise the Lord. I didn't say that. That's what the word says. That's what Jesus said. Actually, the most of the scripture I read to you were just out of his mouth. Praise the Lord. So they should be even, you know, just as important, even more important than the other. Okay. So we must learn one thing. We have many voices in the head. We have to learn to recognize that voice. It's funny, you know, Lilian there with showing a video on Psalm 23, you know, and there was a shepherd that had sheep there. And I was just there a minute ago. And, the guy that was teaching the minister or whatever, you know, was just reading the scripture, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know, follow me. And so what he was doing, he was calling to the sheep to try to see, and the sheep were just eating the grass, ignoring him completely. Just, he was jumping around, and just the stick of the shepherd in his hand didn't do anything. Next to him, there was, that tall kid there, who was actually the shepherd of the sheep. And he just made a little squeak and a little another, and all the sheep just were running to him. Because they recognized his voice. Jesus was accurate in his quote here. Okay, we need to, you know, we need to learn to recognize the voice, okay? And one of the key things, you know, that is to be sheep, first of all. If you are not a sheep, you're not going to hear the voice because goats don't hear sheep. They don't listen to the thing. They just go all over the place. You know, I share all the time. We went to see this, you know, somebody was working for me when I was, and she had a farm, they had a couple of goats. We got there in the car. We didn't even get out of the car. The goats just jumped on the top of my car. Just jump, and they was up there. Says, can I come out? Well, that's the way goats are. Why? Because they have their own agenda. Sheep don't have the agenda. They do what they listen to the call, and they go there. They're obedient. Okay, so that's my example. So the bottom line is they hear him, they know, you know, they hear them, and they follow me. So following him means, you know, obey God's call and direction. Okay. And that is the same. Old Testament, New Testament, nothing has changed. You know, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, you know, as the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to heed than of fat rams. So he's talking about all the religious stuff and ceremonies, they're good for nothing. What the gods want is your obedience. Listening, knowing what he's saying, and obeying him. And so that's what produces the result. Now, in the New Testament, there is Jesus repeating the same thing in New Testament terminology. Again, at the Last Supper presentation that Jesus did there, or sharing that he did, in, for example, John 13 to John 17 is just the Last Supper. It covers up all the things that he shared that night. Okay, and he said, you know, John 15:14, if you are my friend, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. Okay, then it was even before I said in John 14:23, you know, it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. But the idea is, you know, the evidence, the result of loving God is really, okay, the fact that we keep the word. If we don't keep the word, that means, you know, there's another verse, then you don't love me, he said. Okay, so the idea is keep what the commandment, what Jesus then in the commandment that he gave, are only two. Love God first, put God first, and then, you know, love others like yourself. So that is the thing. So, you know, his emphasis, his focus, his direction is the importance of our communion. Oh, okay, our dwelling in the Word, our communion with him, our fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that happens through the connection with the Holy Spirit in us that is sent as a result of him going up there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So our job is not to look around, not to look at, you know, imitate people on men or women or whatever that they, you know, look spiritual, but to look at Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says very clearly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this is really, okay, how we get victory. It says here that Jesus is the looking unto him. So we had to, that's what we had to do. We had to focus on Jesus. Allow what Jesus did and said and taught, you know, to become center of our attention, his word are in us, dwelling in his word. And so this is the focus. And, you know, He said that, you know, Jesus didn't have everything all his life, you know, at opposition very often. He, no matter what people say, you know, he wasn't equivalent of a millionaire today. He was just the son from an earthly point of view of a carpenter. It was of, you know, somebody that was doing things of that type. So, you know, I mean, that was didn't mean he didn't have anything, but he wasn't rich in the world. Where people that says that, something wrong up here. Because it's not true. It's completely untrue. It doesn't work. He wasn't born in a palace with a king or whatever. He was born in a stable. That should be enough to say that he didn't have so much. Hello? But he didn't need so much because he had more than a king anyway. See, that wrong emphasis, that wrong doctrines, that end up going deception. Any of you who say that are deceiving you. Let me continue. Now, is the author and finisher of your faith. So, you know, the author is the one that creates, make possible for you a faith. He's the one that actually created your faith, that your faith is nothing else than trusting in what he has done. If you trust in what he has done, that's all, that's faith. Everything else is not faith. It's believing. And there is a big difference between the two. One is at the heart level, the other one is your funny head. Your head doesn't count. The head is not spiritually, it doesn't have spiritual results. It's the heart that produces spiritual results. Are you following me? You have to understand these things. Anyway, here he's talking about the author and finisher. That means, you know, it's not just the author, the one who created, but it's the one that actually completed. He keeps working on you. He doesn't, he's just, you see, he's not just the one from which you get faith operating in your heart. But it's the one that allows your faith to develop and grow. You don't get that by prayer. You get that by believing in what Jesus has done and what, you know, the fact that he was resurrected. Praise the Lord. So finisher, the word there is teleiotes, which means then create, or no, the author is create, and the other one, teleiotes, means, you know, complete through him. So in him, then that is that your faith is going to be starting, created, and is going to be completed. That means going to be growing and to develop the way it should be, because your trust in him is going to change your life. Praise the Lord. But you know, Jesus' attitude, see how he achieved that result is important to understand. And he's given through, you know, a way that he functioned and operated. He said before, you know, but the joy said before, he endured the cross. Okay, despising the shame. So, you know, he had opposition, he had difficulty, but he had to go through the cross, which wasn't a very easy thing to do. But he didn't despise it. You know, it was not something that he was just rejoicing and delighting like the fear of the Lord. But nevertheless, he went through because that was the will of the Father. And he knew the will of the Father. Are you listening to me. He knew the will of the Father because it was described very clearly, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. And when he was in Gethsemane, he had to deal with that aspect that was imminent, going to be the experience of him. And we are going to see what the Word says concerning that. See, it's so important to understand that. But anyway, let's see what the way he functioned and activated and functioned on this earth. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, the mind there is not really nous the way it is generally mind, but this is phroneo, which actually means attitude. You see, the position, this art. Okay, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he didn't say, oh, I am God. That he did not say that. The opposite. He said instead, he didn't seem to be grasped. Verse 7, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Actually, the word servant is not really accurately, you know, his bond servant, which actually is a slave, a choice to be a slave. A slave to God's will. Okay? Being born in the likeness of men. So, if you consider that, he was our example. And if we says before, that's the way we started. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what is telling us? That we had to be exactly the same way. You know, don't think yourselves are so big and so good and so clever. You are useless if you don't connect with God. God is the source of everything for you. It was for Jesus, and you are not at the level that Jesus was. The other stuff is humanistic psychology, is not Christianity. And that is not going to get you any spiritual results. It's going to negate them and cut them off from you. See, we have to understand that if we want to connect with God, we have to get His way, because there is no other way. Praise the Lord. So, I said, taking the form of a slave. That's exactly the form that we had to take ourselves if we are having the same mind of Him. We had to be submitted to a slave of righteousness, not a slave of sin. Because that's the choice that we have. Now, being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. You see, that's the attitude that God calls us to have. And that's not easy to get to that point. It's not easy to actually respond that way. It requires the Holy Spirit to do a lot of work on us. Praise the Lord. Okay. But that's why he got the result he got. Okay? Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. This is the way you get exalted. They get, is highly exalted, not just exalted. Okay. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You see, there is a sentence that reflects in many places in the Bible. It says, if you exalt yourself, God will humble you. If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And everybody that God used in really supernatural way is not a fake, is because they humble themselves. The other one make it up. And people believe them because they are blind. All right. I'm not saying these things. This is scriptures. You want to be, you know, used by God? You better humble yourself. To share something about some personal experience, I'd rather not for now. But the idea is that, that's the way God can appoint people. Going back to Hebrew, all the people that were used by God, Moses and, other, they all said, I'm not good to do it. I can't do it. I can't speak, But God made him to be probably one of the biggest impact in history of the Jews, that there ever was. And he was completely humble, and Bible says that he was the humblest man. Jesus was humble. Many other. See, if you are not humble, if you are proud, if you think you got it, if you think that you are so good or so, God is not going to use you. Maybe you're going to make it up, but God is not going to use you supernaturally. You can be sure about that. Because that's the word, not me saying it. And that's what happens these days. See? That's what happens this day. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, it says, no man takes his honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. See, today, you see all the new apostolic reformation. And it's produced a proliferation of apostles and prophets and teachers. They are fake. They are completely fake. Because they appoint themselves. You cannot become a prophet, going to a seminar of 2-3 days, give us $300-$500 to go to the seminar, and then they appoint you prophets. That's baloney. That's stupidity. The Bible doesn't say that happens. It happened. It says that we receive the call before the foundation of the world, before even the world existed. The call was established, and according to that, some gifts are going to be there from the very beginning. Anyone that says otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. But everybody wants to have the honor and be putting a title in themselves. Those things are not titles, are functions. It's a way of operating. Let me continue here. See, self-appointed will never be blessed by God. They are not from God, and they will deceive you with false doctrines. I can guarantee you that, because they cannot know the truth. Now, let me continue. The following verse. Going back to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, says there, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest. Okay? But it was he who said to him, God said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. You see, God intervened specifically and manifest and witness the call. You know, the way it's done in denomination is unscriptural. They think, you know, you get a bunch of people that are there and they look at you and they, you know, can determine all the time. Actually, the association I'm part of, you know, our policy is we don't ordain anybody. What we do is recognize that they have been ordained by God. And hopefully we are right in making that decision. And we see God about that. But not everybody that comes for ordination, we give it to. I don't care if they had degrees and PhD in theology. If they are not, we are not convinced, we are not going to give ordination. Not only that, but when they prove they're not, we even remove the ordination. I did that when I was president of the things in a situation because the behavior wasn't right. But you can see the world now today. Lots of ministers, they're just messed up, just the same as the people in the world. And those are the things you know about. Because they become public, because they're, you know, well-known people. But what about the other ones? Okay, so let me continue here. Okay. So let me continue. So, you know, God himself, you know, was a witness of the fact that he appointed Jesus by saying, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Okay. And he also said in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." You see, that's really the key of appointment to God. See, Melchizedek and no origin, no place, no, you just couldn't say, you know, that was because God himself had appointed him. And he is the one that appoints the people that are a special function in the body. Are you following me? You know, Jesus was that way, but we are, you know, being like he was. That's what we are called to be. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, may continue here. Jesus, okay, because of he was actually called and because of the attitude or the phroneo that he had, you know, humble himself and everything else, he was able to, you know, in verse 7, in the days of his flesh, he had offered up a prayer and supplication with vehement cries and tear to him who was able to save him from death and was served because of his godly fear. Talking about the fear of the Lord. You see, it comes up actually in the very end. The great guest of my Gethsemane, you know, he was there and the fear of the Lord came up and was the motivation of him that actually helped him to make the decision, yes, your will be done. And he knew what was going to happen. But that reality, you see, the basis of that wasn't because of himself. It was because he knew that the Father was reliable. He knew that the word is true. He knew beyond any logical reason that he would come back from the dead on the third day. Are you following me? You see, that's not faith in something. It's faith in God and his word, what he said, and you stand firm on that. Now, and so, you know, here, for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. See, we think that, you know, God often people that are born again, oh, you know, all your problems are going to be finished. That's deception. That's not modern North American deception of Christianity. Never in the world says that. We are going to have battle, struggle, the Lord is going to be with us, and he's going to strengthen us, and he's going to enable us to overcome. Just the same as Jesus. You know, we are not called to, die on the cross. Hopefully, but Peter did. And he chose to be upside down. So, I mean, all the disciples, except John, died because they were killed for the faith that they had. But we are, what is preached today, everything is going to be okay. Well, that's deception. It's not what the other ones experience. We are not better than the disciples, that they were following Jesus and giving their life for him. We had to start being logical, at least, in receiving and understanding what the word says. And not just picking up, cherry picking the scripture we like, and so that, we like the taste of them and we just ignore all the others. That is actually self-deception. And we had to overcome that if you want to get anyone. You know, Jesus did not complain, but submitted to the will of the Father. Okay? And so, he knew exactly. You know, John 17, there is very clear. It's talking about, John 15 to 17. Just he understood, trust, okay, had a love relationship with the Father, and he was completely confident in what the Word was saying. And he said, here, it's interesting, he said, he had godly fear, okay? But he was heard because of the godly fear. It's interesting. You know, he was there and says, can you take it from me? I believe God took him from him. He made no sound. Except when the sin of the world came on him. When he was crucified, he was beaten, he was, tortured. Even Isaiah prophesies about that. He, like a sheep going to the slaughter, he made no sound. I believe God gave him the supernatural power to actually be able to stand and not give the pleasure to his executioner to see him squirming because of the pain. And I tell you something more. That is actually experience other time, but other people that were victims of torture because they were Christians. And they stood firm instead of giving in and compromising. And that means not just in the past, even in the present. So, Jesus, one thing, looking unto Jesus, Jesus knew beyond the question of a doubt that he could trust the Father, that the Father had a plan for him that was the best plan that could ever happen for anybody. And it's the same thing for you. If you still keep believing and trusting that God has a plan for you, in the same way as he planned for Jesus, he's going to plan for you to do the best possible way, the best benefit that you can get, because that's what God wants you to have. Even when it appears, I'm getting close to be crucified here because of being a believer. See, that what faith is. Is trusting God, his perfect, merciful approach to the plan that he has for us. Okay? Merciful for you. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Praise the Lord. and be configured to follow him. See, then goes on. You know, Jesus' obedience in obeying God and doing what he said is an example for us to follow in whatever situation we are in. Instead of complaining, instead of doing other things. That's why God was upset with the, you know, the children of Israel when we were in the desert. They were, you know, carried in the desert with miracles all over the place. And what they did, complaining all the time. That's why they died in the desert. The ones that weren't complaining didn't die in the desert. What shows that? Just the one that had the right attitude, the one that trusted him, were not only overcomers, but they got all the blessing that God promised to him. That's the way to get God's blessing. Okay. So, verse 9 of the same Hebrew chapter 5, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation for all who obey him. There you got. Okay, so the idea for us to experience eternal salvation, we had to obey him. It's not just a question of saying a little prayer. Then we are going to experience eternal salvation. You know, it's the continued change within us. Okay. To obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Again, we repeat the same thing. You see, the ordination, the way that our call is exactly the same way. We are called in the same way as Jesus' call. It's not our idea. It's not our ambition. It's not our wanting something. It's God having given us the job. And when he does that, generally, if it's really God doing it, you are going to say, I'm not qualified. I cannot do it. And that's the truth. But he is going to enable you because he is sending you. This is not what generally is preached. But that is what the word says. And unless we take the word rather than what men teach, we are going to be in trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, the same is true for us. This is the problem with the modern New Apostolic Reformation. Everybody appoints themselves. They come up with stupid doctrines of demons that couldn't believe it. Anybody, even non-believers, see it. But believers are brainwashed by the idea that they have that is wrong. Okay, because, it's supernatural. Not. Okay. You know, it's interesting that just after these few verses, you know, the following verse from 11 to 14, okay, there is a warning about what? Apostasy. That's the warning of apostasy that come out right in Hebrew chapter 5. Okay, and I'm not going to go into all that. Okay, but you know what is the final conclusion of that is in chapter 5, verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, if you are not, this is why in the old epistles, you know, the recommendation is don't get somebody in leadership that is a novice, that is not, that they didn't have properly the proper training. This is why they did discipleship, to develop people. Paul trained Timothy and the other things, because they needed to be trained spiritually, not going to school and learning some theological stuff doesn't count for anything unless you deal with it spiritually with the Holy Spirit. Our system is a worldly system to do spiritual thing, and God cannot produce the result that are spiritual, because what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3, I think, 6, something like that. Are you following me? We need to understand that. And so we need to understand how important it is really to come to the place, okay, in which we are able to hear the Holy Spirit. To connect, we recognize the voice. And unfortunately, you know, I was hoping to finish, but I can't. But we can finish next week. Did you get anything today? I mean, I'm turning around lots of stones that have been there that cover up the truth, and there are lots of worms under there. But that's the truth. This is what the word says. And people don't have the courage to say, to speak it, because they're worried, nobody is going to like me. I'm not trying to get liked by people. I want to only please God. And that's what I did all my life. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. I think we cover quite a bit of stuff. It's going to be on the... Evidently, I haven't finished on the fear of the Lord yet. We need to talk about a bit more about it. And what I'm going to talk about, there are, you know, some things I already shared before, but I'm going to expand a bit. But the other one is actually what happens to us, how it happens to us spiritually. How we grow in the sphere, fear of the Lord. How we develop, because we cannot develop something spiritually that is from a physical, from a carnal way. The only way to develop something spiritually is spiritual. That means, you know, without the Holy Spirit intervention, we cannot understand the fear of the Lord. As simple as that. So we need to be able to connect with the Holy Spirit in that area and allow Him to teach us, to make us grow, to give us understanding and to see what's going to happen as a result of that. And there are different things that happen on the physical level and happen on the mental and, you know, emotional and spiritual level. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Praise you, Jesus. Father, thank you for your word that makes a difference in our life if we allow it to change the way we think, the way we judge, the way we act. Help us, Lord. Open our eyes so that we may see, that we may hear, and may recognize Jesus' voice guiding us into all truth. Thank you for your love. And thank you that you have left not us orphans, but you have given us a helper to dwell with us and guide us into all truth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.